Our gospel reading this morning, we continue in Luke's gospel, now in the 18th chapter, reading verses 1 through 8. I invite you to read along on page 81 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, if you wish. Let us continue listening for God's word together. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's parable day again, and this is a hard one. These parables are Jesus' subversive stories about an alternative universe, but this universe is not comprised of crazy or magical or mythical things, but extraordinarily ordinary ones. Like coins and sheep and wheat and sons and fathers and widows and judges. It is through these ordinary things that Jesus reveals the nature of God in surprising and shocking and even scandalous ways. Jesus' parables tend to be deeply engaging and also really frustrating at the same time. You can meditate on them, you can struggle with them, you can enter into them, but you just can't solve them. In fact, as we've noted before, the best way to suck the life out of a parable is by attempting to neatly allegorize it so that everything in it equals something else. Or worse, trying to figure out the exact and only moral of the story. Parables aren't that simple, and they can't be reduced because they are about truth. Hidden and unyielding, disruptive truth that defies all of our attempts to pin it down or to contain it in a box of our like. So rather than looking at parables straight on, what we have to do with them is that we have to kind of squint one eye and turn your head sideways and try to see what we're hearing in them this time. Of course, it's tempting to skip this step and simply take them as they come. And this is especially the case with today's story of the persistent widow. It seems pretty straightforward. At a glance, this story contains the world's best self-help technique, through which you can get all of the cash and all of the toys and all of the things that you could ever want out of God's divine vending machine if you're willing to bug God enough through ceaseless prayer. If you're not getting what you want, you must not be praying long enough or hard enough. Keep at it, because God will cave eventually. Right? Maybe not. We know that that's not exactly how this works. More than that, we know when we find ourselves saying something is an answer to prayer, well, we might do well to ask, what exactly does that mean? What is an answered prayer? Does God only answer prayers by giving us what we ask for? We know that just praying hard enough or fervently enough or even righteously enough doesn't get us what we want. We know this because even in the midst of prayer, my friend Tommy lost the battle with cancer. We know this because even in the midst of prayer, countless others have recovered and are living great and full lives. We know that even in the midst of prayer, the powerful can continue to prey upon the weak. And we continue to find stories about the weak who are able to rise up and to find a new way of being. We know in the midst of prayer that sometimes the storm clouds unexplainably part and go around and then come back together. And that in the midst of prayer, the storm can mercilessly come pounding through. We know better. And yet Luke, before the parable even begins, comes right out and tells us that this parable is about our need to pray constantly and not lose hope. So if we're to turn this thing on its side, then maybe an alternate reading of this is that, yes, it's about persistence and prayer and hope, but maybe we have the characters missed up. Maybe this is about the persistence of God. Maybe it is we who, like the judge, are finally worn down by the persistence of a God who longs for justice, even though we fail to fear God or care about people. Maybe prayer isn't the way in which we manipulate God, but simply the posture in which we come to know God and finally become worn down by God's persistence in loving us, God's persistence in forgiving us, God's persistence in coming to us, and God's persistence in being faithful and always, always bringing life out of death. Maybe the persistence of our prayer is nothing more than a means of exposing us to the persistence of God's longing for a world of justice and beauty, a world where we are finally no longer alone, but connected to God and each other in ways that are as surprising as a parable, ways which seem ordinary, but which reveal a different kind of relationship. The New Testament scholar Fred Craddock once described prayer is a process by which a person is being hammered through long days and nights of prayer into a vessel that will be able to hold the answer when it comes. In this world in which we live, a world where the focus is so heavily upon the individual that we are lonelier than ever before, I think prayer is really and radically about connection. Living a life of prayer is living so that we are affected by what is happening in each other's lives, what is happening in the blessed and broken and beautiful world in which God has placed us, and so that we are also affected by God. There's just one catch. Relationships are always two-way streets. There's another way that we can turn our kaleidoscope. Yes, this parable can be turned so that we're focusing on God's persistence rather than our own. But I think it is also an encouragement for us to not lose heart. Mostly because it just comes out and says so right at the beginning. This is a parable about why you should not lose heart. But if Jesus is going to be so blunt in his explanation, it's worth taking a moment to consider. What does it mean to lose heart? Does it stir up memories? Times of isolation or desperation? Times of weariness and resignation and numbness and despair? When you didn't know where hope was coming from, or even what you might do next. When I lose heart, I don't just lose hope. I lose my sense of focus and direction. I lose clarity, and I begin to doubt God's intentions. I quickly become irritable and cynical. My spiritual GPS goes haywire so that all roads lead to nowhere. It's a hard place to be. In contrast, the widow in Jesus' parable is the very picture of purposefulness and precision and aliveness and clarity.
She knows what she needs and she knows its urgency. More than that, she knows who can give that thing to her and what she has to do to get that need met. If anything, the simple daily business of getting up and getting dressed and heading to the judge's chambers and banging on the doors and talking his ears off until he listens fortifies her own sense of who she is and what she's about. Give me justice. I will keep coming back until you do. What happens when we pray like the widow? I can only speak from experience, but I know that when I persist in prayer, and I mean like not for 2 or 3 days, I'm like, well, I tried, but that was pretty good. I mean, when I really persist with a full heart over a long period of time, something happens, and that something happens to me. My sense of who I am and to whom I belong, what really matters in my life and why, these things mature and solidify. My heart grows stronger. It becomes less fragile and flighty. Once in a while, it even dares to soar. And sometimes, good and substantive things happen even when I don't receive that thing that I'm praying for. I don't mean for a moment to suggest that unanswered prayer doesn't take a toll. It does. It hurts and it baffles and it breaks your heart. But maybe that's part of the point of this parable too, that the work of prayer is hard. The widow's predicament is not straightforward. She has to make a costly choice every single day. Will I keep asking? Will I go to his house today? Dare I risk humiliation one more time? Dare I risk a no one more time? Do I still believe that my request is worthy of being spoken out loud? Can I be patient? Am I still capable of trusting that justice might be a real possibility for me? It's a miracle that she got up to go every morning. Prayer is, after all, a great mystery. We can't know, it's not given to us to know, why some prayers are answered quickly and others are not. We can't understand why our earnest prayers for justice and for healing and for peace, or maybe just for people to simply care, why they hit the wall of God's silence and sometimes remain there for weeks or months or years. Or ever, as far as we know. And yet, from the heart of this bewildering parable, Jesus asks, will I find faith on earth? Which is to say, will I find men and women like the bothersome widow? Will I find such ferocity and tenacity and fortitude? The widow in this story is completely powerless. In a patriarchal society, she would have had no grounds for her case. The only power she has is the power of showing up, the power of sheer grit. But the story suggests that this power is not to be taken lightly, which is to say that prayer is not to be taken lightly. We can't know what gets shaken, transformed, upended, or even vindicated, simply because we show up again and again in prayer. And so we hear this call coming to us, inviting us to show up. To show up and pray. To show up and know God, and to show up so that we can be known by God. To show up so that we can experience God's persistence in loving us and forgiving us, and walking beside us and constantly doing God's work of recreation, and also to show up so that we might not lose heart, to pray without ceasing, if only to remember who and whose we are,
to keep trying when it seems like all hope is lost, because it is to the God of all hope that we are praying. And in all things, to remember that we are children of a God who has loved us and has promised to never let us go. Friends, may we have the courage and the persistence and the tenacity to persist in prayer, to show up with and for one another, to show up with God. Even if all we have are sighs too deep for words, even if we don't have the words that we think might be right, to show up and persist and to continue to be in relationship with God and one another.